Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're looking at the book of Acts. In this session, we'll be considering Acts chapter 22, verse 30, through Acts 23, verse 11. Paul's defense before the council. Paul spoke to the crowd. We saw that. He spoke to the centurion next. And then he's brought to speak before the religious council. Lysias really wanted to know why the Jews accused Paul. Look at chapter 22 and verse 30. It says, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. I want you to pay close attention and really appreciate this scene. First of all, Paul rebuked the leader regarding the law. Look at verse 20, chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. And then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit in to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? The apostle, he went on offense. He says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Indirectly, his comment was kind of condemning. Well, how is that? Well, if Paul's life as a Christian left him completely innocent before God, then the council members who rejected Christ were guilty before God. No wonder Ananias ordered him slapped. So what Paul said was an accurate view of his situation. The leader was a hypocrite. You sit to judge me according to the law, and yet you command me to be struck contrary to the law? There's no verdict yet, but not even a trial. But you execute judgment? The problem is that Paul didn't know who it was that just had him slapped. And so the second thing that we see is Paul was rebuked according to the law. Look at verses 4 and 5. And those who stood by him said, do you revile God's high priest? And then Paul said, oh, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Notice the irony in the situation. When rebuked, Paul repented of sin. I didn't know, brethren, that he was the high priest. And then he quoted scripture forbidding evil talk against the spiritual leader. Paul recognized the office. The man in the office did not matter. It's the office that mattered. It's like the president of the United States. It doesn't matter who occupies that office, whether you support him or not, whether you like him or not. He is in that office, and while he's in that office, he is the president of the United States and deserves respect. The Apostle Paul was a law-abiding Jew in every way. God ordained the role. It's his problem to handle, not Paul's. So, what's the irony? The judge acted outside the law. The accused even respected the hypocrite in order to do right. And then the third thing we see is that Paul took control of that meeting. from that point on. Look at verses 6 through 9. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Paul calculated the political makeup of the council, theologically speaking, and he saw an opportunity. Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees and Sadducees. Resurrection, no resurrection. He aligned himself with the Pharisees as opposed to the Sadducees, and it was a brilliant move. He provoked a fight in the council, splitting the factions against each other. And verse 9 shows that his strategy worked. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." The focus of the council was off Paul and on each other. The Pharisees became the apostles' allies. Meanwhile, poor Lysias, the commander, he rescued Paul the first time by arresting him. He had to take Paul from the crowd a second time. Then he had to rescue him a third time from the Jews. In verse 10, "Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks." Paul stirred up a riot by telling the truth. Why? Sinners can't handle the truth. And he's done it again. Here. They must receive it or destroy it. The apostle was caught between Rome's power and angry Jews. Kind of a scary place to be. Well, not really. Paul was given encouragement by Jesus. Encouragement that is so important to all Christians. Look at verse 11. "Be of good cheer." But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness at Rome." Listen. Take this truth and hold to it. You are indestructible until God is finished with you. And when God is finished with you, you're gone. You must also bear witness at Rome. God called Paul to Rome. And because God called Paul to Rome, he had to get him there. And he used Rome, Roman Empire, to bring him there. Let me tell you something. The safest place on earth is in God's will. Where are you? Think about that, and you have a great day.